This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show!
This episode of Best of the Rest is brought to you by Audible.com. Audible is the leading provider of audiobooks with over 200,000 titles to choose from. Go to nerdylegion.com/audible, sign up for a trial membership, and receive 2 free audiobooks. That's audible.com. Hello, everyone. This is Best of the Rest, an indie comics podcast. This is Jay Loving, and my podcast partner, Dennis Chandler, is not with me today. That's because this episode is a bit of a departure from what we've done in the past. I recently attended the North Texas Comic Book Show in Dallas. One of the panels that was featured that weekend was titled, What is Indie? It had a number of creators from very small press publications, most of them local to either the North Texas or Central Texas area. They were kind enough to allow me to record the panel. What I was using to record was a Zoom H1 portable recorder. I did not have the capability of plugging into their mixer, so the quality of this is not pristine by any means, but I think I have edited it enough so that it is acceptable. There are a couple places that are more difficult in hearing than the others. One of the additional challenges was that this convention was held in just a single large room, and the panels were all in the back of this room. So you're getting the ambient noise of the convention along with everything else. But I think it's worth a listen. It's about 40 minutes long. The guests here include Roxanne Berkey, Richard Brooks, Scott Beecher, and Richard Ingram. I hope you enjoy this. I will be back afterwards with a few closing comments.
We have Roxanne Berkey from Breakfield and Berkey. Did I get that right? We've got Richard Brooks at the very end of Rick Brooks Books. If I say that 3 times fast, yeah. We've got Scott Beecher of Butterfly Comics. And then we've got Richard Ingram of Loser Comics. So just to kind of open up, I guess I'll start on your end, Rick, and then we'll work this way and then work backwards. What got you involved in indie comics? What was it that kind of moved you to go in that direction?
Well, my day job is I'm a teacher. I taught art for 25 years in middle school, and I've always done freelance cartooning on the side. And about 5 years ago, I started doing a comic strip. So since I was a teacher, I did a comic strip about a teacher and his students. I began self-syndicating it into some newspapers, and so it's carried in enough newspapers that I keep my day job. But I also got the idea to collect some of the strips, and so I put them together into book collections and come to these conventions and try to peddle them. And I found out I'm from San Antonio, but I stumbled across Chris's show a few years ago, and it is, for me, it's worth the 5-hour drive because it's always a big crowd of people that like comic books, as opposed to some of the conventions where it's a big crowd of people that like getting autographs from semi-famous celebrities. And with that, I'm going to hand it off to one of my fellow creators.
I got into the comics just because I didn't see a lot of stuff out there that I enjoyed, so I wanted to try to make my own mark, I guess. And so it was just a matter of finding other people like-minded that would, you know, kind of do it with you. Because if you don't have someone to, you know, participate, then it makes it kind of tough to stay motivated. Yeah, so it's been good to, you know, my partner Mike, he's out working right now, but found him, and so we've been going at it for the last about 4 years. And then coming to the shows now, meeting Rick and Richard, and kind of tag teaming and stuff, and just kind of hanging out. Yeah. Like minds, it helps kind of keep motivated to keep creating. You know?
Okay. I came to comics early on, late 60s and in the 70s, and as a very young person, about 1976, stumbled on Underground Comics, which I had to hide, ever seen real Underground Comics. I also come from a very small community in Appalachia, so I didn't fit in anyway, and this stuff didn't fit in there at all, and I started making that sort of thing as a kid. I had already been in love with industrial comics, Marvel and DC. But I found the stuff in those Underground Comics a lot freer and capable of exploring themes that regular comics you could get off the newsstand with. Political themes, satire, social satire, even horror, very strange. And I have that kind of sense of humor. So, as I got older, I wound up making that sort of work. Being towards adults instead of children or younger people. Although my books are not harmful to children.
Actually part of the co-author team, Brinkfield and Berkey. We write the Enigma series, which is a collection right now of 9 currently and ready to be 10 books in the series. And one of the things is I'm a technologist by profession. So I've been in technology for a lot of years, as my co-author has as well. And we found when we were in technology that we were writing documentation, which is possibly the most boring thing on the planet. And we were having no fun with it, even though it was well done. So we decided it would be far much more fun to take technology that we knew a lot about and kind of weave it into a really good, fun story. So we take real technology that applies today. So everybody's got cell phones and devices and all that good stuff. And we take those and we actually weave them into stories and kind of focus on different things. So each book in the series kind of has a theme. For example, the very first one in the series focuses on identity theft. So, which is pretty common today, pretty relevant to what's going on. So it kind of takes a look at the fun stuff of that. So we combine technology, a little bit of travel, because we both traveled independently all over the world. And a little romance, a little humor, because life is always full of humor, and have some fun with it. One of the things we're really proud of in coming to this particular event, because we love this event, we've been here 3 times, I think, and continue to want to come over and over again. We actually have graphic novels in book 7. It's a very big feature within that particular story. And you pick up a bookmark, you can take a look at the book trailers. But we got into indie publishing because of full-time work. We wanted to be able to get our stories out there the way we want. We've won several awards. In fact, if anybody here is going to be in Burbank, California, in October, we're up for the finalist as a Roan Award, which is a pretty big deal for one of our Audibles. So, a lot of fun, and we enjoy this event a lot. Thanks.
I got into indie comics because I was not happy with the way mainstream comics were going. I wasn't happy with what I saw in mainstream comics, and I've always been one that believed that if I'm going to complain about something, I better be willing to offer a solution. And so, as soon as I started getting into indie comics, I started discovering that most of the comic book business models were broken. So we wound up putting together a writer-artist co-op, and we've produced 5 books now, and we've got probably a half dozen more on the way in the next 12 months. But we put together a group of people from all over the world who are interested in doing comics, all set in a shared universe. So that's been it's been a very strange journey, but that's how I got here.
So we're going to go back starting with Eagle. Can you give us kind of like an elevator pitch of what you're producing now? And then kind of let people know, you know, what the concept is behind what you've developed. And Roxanne, same thing. And I'm really, you know, are you still offering the free download?
Yeah.
So one thing I should mention is that they are offering Redfield and Berkey a free download. So if you can download the book, listen to it, and then write a review on it. That's the deal. You have to write a review about the book that you read. So, I think that's awesome. So we'll start with Eagle and then kind of go back. And if you can each give an overview of what you're working on now, again, dig a little bit deeper into, you know, your current projects.
The company name is Now Earth Comics, and what we have is a shared universe, and all of the stories have subtle interconnections. Yeah, all of the stories have subtle interconnections, but we got 5 books out so far, and while they're all set in the same world, they're a wide range of genres, they're a wide range of story styles and art styles. None of them are what you would call traditional comic set up, because we're interested in telling stories. So what we've got right now is the beginnings of this universe, and I don't really know how to express it in an elevator pitch. These are just about any type of genre you like, we've got something interesting for you. And we're not aiming these at the average comic book reader, we're aiming these at the average reader. So we're leaving behind a lot of the comic book tropes and going more for fiction.
I'm gonna break in just a second.
So one thing I just want to share with you is, I guess it was 2 or 3 shows ago, Eagle actually provided me a couple of the comics that they did. And one of the distinct things that stood out is that what they're doing is they're writing comics that you can read. It's not about visual graphics and you know, splash pages. There's actually a story there that you can kind of dig into. I just want to make sure that we touched on it.
And I think that's a great lead-in, and I appreciate that, because I want to tag on to there and say storytelling is part of what we're all about. So we like telling stories and making it a little easy to follow. You know, technology can be so complex, and yet you can have fun with it. You can tell a story, and you can kind of drive home a little bit of a point, and that's what we do in the stories. As far as what we're working on right now, we actually have 2 things. One, we have a new book coming out, book 10, that is focused on cryptocurrency. Is anybody thinking about cryptocurrency? It's kind of a relevant thing today. So it focuses on that and how we have to be careful. The other thing is, anybody familiar with artificial intelligence? That's a really big hot item now. And so the next one is going to be, who won the AI wars?
I'm going to jump in again. You know, it's really neat that what you're doing is writing about, you know, current situations or things that we can all appreciate. And then technology is moving so darn fast. And then, you know, kind of translating that into a story is awesome. So, yeah.
Thanks, Chris. And, you know, there's no shortage of ideas because it does change so fast. So, exactly right.
Let's see, I brought some of my books. My books are all over the board. So, straight word book, word mark. That would be suitable given for children. I even left out the curse words and put in the fun comic book scribbles for the curse words. No nudity, nothing like that. Then I'm working on the first issue of this, the second one that was
reprinting a variety of work that nobody's ever seen that I did from back in the 90s for a very particular massage. When I was in Athens, Georgia, in Atlanta, Georgia, and just got to the distribution or never printed. I loved comics for about 20 years after 1995. I raised the sun. So I have time to do that now, and I'm getting it all back out and making some of the ideas that I put forward in this. This is a mixed bag. A variety of things that I've been doing since the 80s. Characters in a satirical, darkly satirical, cartoony type story called Chunky Brown Guns. Bears no resemblance whatsoever to Charlie Brown, I promise. Copyright violations there. And explorations of perhaps economic unfairness and what have you. And I have a nice character in here that is the Stinking Rich Doughboy, son of a former very wealthy nomad name who died and be very creepy. That sort of thing. And then this one is probably, your political leanings will be revealed immediately, because this one's called GOP Nazis Number 1, which contains a set of stories, one long one by me and some shorter ones by a couple of other people, and a number of political cartoons I drew in Cleveland at the GOP convention, which I got to go to and witness. Courtesy of RVD Car's widow. I got invited to go there and witnessed all manner of things. So, it has a lot of the political cartoons from there and a story from before the president was sworn in. I had many things to say and I still do. So, as I said, in the underground tradition, I do political humor. It's pretty vicious, but fun. And well drawn. If anything else, you might like the pictures. So, that's what I've got going right now, and next go around is going to be a continuation of this, and then I'm probably on the side we'll just do horror, because I love horror, and it's very Lovecraftian in the Lovecraft tradition. And as I said, everybody can read it initially.
Yeah,
about that. Enjoy the pictures.
I'm just going to jump in again here. You've seen a theme here. So, you know, I follow Richard on Instagram, and I'm always impressed with the artwork that you deliver there. I think the thing that I'm most kind of, we have this like little bond that you're not aware of, but is that I go back to the 60s. I mean, that's when I was growing up, and I remember, you know, like prom, and it just, you know, when I saw your work, it was reminiscent of a time when, you know, as a little kid, not a little kid, but a teenage kid, and finding, you know, underground stuff and kind of being excited by it. So thank you for bringing back the, you know, the past, I guess, and then making it, you know, relevant to the future.
Yeah, I agree. My Richard at the San Diego show. Yeah, several years ago, and it was fantastic to see the work. And even though I wasn't a child of the 60s, I definitely enjoy the comics from that era and picking up underground stuff. And so that was it drew me in fairly quick. For us at Unearthly Comics, right now we just finished our crime story, City of Hate, which was a crime-based comic set here in Dallas. Got a write-up in the Dallas Observer for that, so that was nice. After that, now, the next story I'm working on is going to be a horror comic. That one's going to be basically elevator pitch, Con Air meets Texas Chainsaw Massacre. So it'll be interesting, and it'll be a lot of fun, so I'm excited to work on that. So I already kind of started the outline, and now I'm just going to start drawing it. So as far as my partner, Mike Wilkman, he finished Scouts, and so now he's working on his next project, which is going to be
based on the tarot cards. So that'll be a fun one to watch as he works on that. And then we have Jose Ramirez and Jose Garcia. Both of them, fantastic artists. El Cinto is what they're finishing up. And then I think they're going to work on another project afterwards. I'm not sure which one just yet. But yeah, that's kind of where we're at. We're continuing to publish and produce, and now we're trying to get it into Diamonds so we can get it distributed throughout the country and get it into more comic shops and into more people's hands so they can experience what we do. So.
Could I happen now, right? So if you got a poster this morning, that was designed and drawn by Scott. And so they've been doing, contributing to our kind of complimentary posters for the last few shows. We want to say thank you again for doing that. And, it's nice to have met you guys because I think you've been with us now 3 or 4 years. And, it's kind of, I like the enthusiasm, right? It's really nice to have brought that in.
Well, probably all of us have the same feeling of swimming against the current. And in my case, some of it comes because I've always worked in newspapers. Ever since when I was in high school, I got a job doing editorial cartoons for my hometown paper. And then from college, and even as an adult, I've worked for various publications in community journalism. That is a dying art. It seems like, I know when I get up in the morning and go out to get the paper out of my lawn, I am the only one on my block that has it. Everyone else is getting it off the internet, they're using their devices, they're watching TV. But I'm still old school, so I'm still doing this comic strip, self-syndicating it. It's carried in 4 newspapers on a weekly basis. The comic strip is very traditional, 3-4 panel, gag a day kind of strip. My inspiration comes from guys like Charles Schultz, Mark Walker, Bill Watterson. So I like to think I'm trying to follow those footsteps. And I collect the strips into booklets, and like I said, try to spread the word of these shows. And it has been inspirational to meet other publishers. Every convention offers not only a chance to interact with people and talk about my work and demonstrate how I do it, but also I don't know if network is the right word, but to interact with my fellow cartoonists, get ideas. I always leave these shows with a renewed energy and vigor. Based on what I see, my colleagues.
Okay, sorry, I've got a text. Got a text interruption, so I apologize for that. So, all right, one thing you need to do is not only rush to each of their tables at the end of this panel, but also be aware that Rick has produced a special con edition comic, which is awesome. So that's really groovy. I was like, that's cool. That's really cool. So thank you for that, Rick. I guess we'll start on your end, Rick, and just, is there anything that you see in terms of how indie is moving today? Do you see it as becoming a widening, body of water where more people are falling into it and taking up the what am I trying to say here? You guys are all the writers. Basically, what I'm looking for is, do you see it expanding and people moving in that direction, or do you see it shrinking and kind of not so much?
I think the answer is yes to both of those things. And here's what I mean by that. Like Scott's talking about trying to get his work into Diamond so he can get national distribution. And Richard can attest to this. In the 1990s, anyone could get in Diamond and sell 10,000 copies of their comic book. It could be horrible, and you could do that. now it is, the gatekeepers are really strict at getting into national distribution. On the other hand, web publishing and print on demand, which is, I think, what most of us use, make it more economical for you to self-publish. You know, again, going back to the 90s, you had to print up 10,000 copies of a comic book, and they were going to sit in your garage for years, more than likely. Now, print on demand, if you want to do 50 copies, you can do 50 copies. If you want to do 1,000 copies, you can do 1,000 copies. So, and there's a quick turnaround. And so I guess, Chris, it's, in my view, the pool is widening, but maybe it's more shallow. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I agree with everything Rick said on that, because, getting into Diamond is very difficult, and, you know, make sure you send everything out, and like I said, the gatekeepers. But again, with technology, like you touched on, the web is there, and you have a lot more people producing web comics and growing an audience through the web, and then using Kickstarter or other avenues to generate money to then publish those, and then they can be carried in conventions and then sold online. So it's, there's a bigger audience to reach, but there's just so much of it that it's hard to kind of filter through to maybe to find the audience, to keep the audience. But it's definitely growing for independence, I think. It's just a matter of being seen.
I think where it goes from here is going to depend on the audience. I mean, this is an interactive medium, not in the sense like a computer or a computer game, but it's interactive in that we make things not just to sit around our houses and gather that space in the basement or the closet, but to share with other people, and generally don't charge any more than it costs to print it. Maybe a little more, cover some expenses. That's about it. Probably, unless, you know, we wind up being picked up by somebody like Fantagraphics, none of us are going to be world famous or anything like that, or wind up the next Dan Klaus. In fact, if Dan Klaus were here now, he might be sitting at this table instead of having been picked up at Fantagraphics 30 years ago. So is whether or not the audience is willing to give new things a shot, and try it out. Give it a taste. Walk by, pick it up, look at it. Earn $3 or $4 and take it home, and if it's terrible, write the person and tell them it's terrible and why, so that it could be fixed if it needs to, so that you can have a dialogue. It helps to hear back from you. All artists need that. Communities more than just between the artists. I like to appeal to other artists, that's nice. The biggest payoff is a total stranger. Pick something up and then write me an email 3 months later or something. It meant something. And it lets me know that what I do is important. I think the same is true for most every creator. We're not overflowing with emails generally, unless we really make something can. So, to say it again, I think that what happens in the future, whether or not it truly expands and becomes a rich medium, or rich in the sense of the content and the skill, depends on how hard you challenge independence. Otherwise, it may just wind up everybody who can afford to go out and print 12 things goes and prints 12 things. That's it. It's just kind of a hobby.
Really good points all the way down the line. As an independent author, there's a couple of things, probably because of when I grew up. It's important that it's a well-written story, that it's grammatically correct and that sort of thing. And I do find that the entries into the market are broader, but the quality of it isn't always there from a written novel perspective, which is a little scary because it helps put other people off if they've had a bad experience from reading a book that's like, you know, it's just hard to read because it doesn't read well. But I do find the market expanding. I do find that there is an avenue for a lot of creativity, and people want to get it out and want to try it. There's lots of avenues for, you know, short stories as well as novels, contests to help you gauge how you're doing, but I always want to make sure that we get reviews, and that was one of the things that you mentioned, Chris, with people that want to download the Audible books, because that's an avenue that we're pursuing. It's the reviews. It's important to know that we're doing a good job, just like you mentioned over there. I want the feedback from other writers and other artists, as it were, but it's really important from the readers, from the fans. So,
okay, I'm going to do a little self-shilling here for about 30 seconds before I answer the question. I have a YouTube channel that you can find by going to Newark, by searching for Newark Comics on YouTube. And I've got about 5 or 6 videos on there that covers everything about the subject. The truth on the comic book market is it's been expanding steadily for the last 8-9 years. It's now over $1 billion a year in sales. The flip side of that is that comic book sales of individual titles have dropped significantly. Most of the time now, if you're looking at the top 10 on the Comic-Con list, you're seeing 30, 40, 50, 60,000 as the top 10 for sales. 20 years ago, that was million. We have lost zeros. And the reason for this is because there's so much more on the market that the same amount, that the ever-increasing amount of money is being spread thinner and thinner over the number of titles that are out. So the answer to the question is yes, the comic book market's expanding. And individual title sales are plummeting. And a lot of that's because of very uneven quality. As the same problem that she sees in the novel market, we're also seeing in the comic book market. But the hard part now is growing a fan base. And that's why we come to conventions, is to talk to fans. The hard part is getting the product out there, because the economic truth of it is, in order for a comic book to be successful, you need to sell 5,000 copies of it. It used to be that Marvel would cancel a comic to drop below 20,000, and now they've got some up on the top 25 list that have less than 20,000 a month in sales. So the best thing that as fans you can do is find authors and artists you like and support them by buying their comics. But to answer Chris's question, yes, it's expanding and it's shrinking. It depends on which particular graphic you want to look at.
Cool. So I hate to excuse myself, but I'm going to, because I've got a little emergency call. But I'm gonna ask you to spend a minute to 2 minutes, and kind of, you know, there's a lot that I haven't touched on, or we haven't touched on today. And there's a lot that's inside you that's like, I wanted him to ask that question. So if you spend a minute or two and just kind of share, one or two things that you would have liked to address this morning that we didn't. Unfortunately, like I said, I have to excuse myself, and I'll ask you to wrap it up. Can we do that? Awesome. I appreciate everybody being here. Please make sure that you get to their tables today, talk to them one-on-one, find out a little bit more about what they're doing. So I'll take Eagle, you can start, and then you'll wrap it up, Rick. Thanks.
Thanks, Chris.
The main thing that I want to touch on is that a lot of the true creativity in comic books these days is in the indie comic scene, mainly because if you're looking at DC and Marvel, they are no longer producing content as much as they are producing product. And they are obligated to keep their characters more or less static because of the because of the marketing. So any change that gets made eventually gets brought back to the traditional characters. If you're looking for things that are actually innovative in storytelling and innovative in artwork or narrative, the indie scene is where you're going to find it. And for a lot of us, that's why we got into comics in the first place, is because we could see stories that we didn't see anywhere else.
Well said. So I think to wrap it up and kind of say from my perspective, is, you know, storytelling is just a lot of fun. It's fun to have an imagination. It's fun to put it out there, and that's what we try to do all the time. The problem is with fans and readers is you just don't know how they want to consume it. So, like what we're doing right now is, you know, all of them are available in ebook, all of them are available in paperback, and we're trying to slowly do Audible on each of them. And so it's so that the consumer can make the choice. And it's very important that we get that feedback and hear how you like different things so that as authors, especially in the novels or short story, we know how to deliver what you want.
That's a good point. I'm not a person who's a total Luddite opposed to comics online, even comics that web comics that you can read for free. I have things online that you can read for free. Entire comic books. Sometimes that's what you have to do in order for people to take a look at it. Most people are not at the comic book conventions to take a look, and they happen across things, and they get to be exposed to new things that way. And again, I don't think most of us are in the business of comics for any other reason than it's the most creative way to get across what we want to get across. It's a medium where you can do things that you can't do in any other medium. It's also capable of doing a lot more than what it normally is suspected to be capable of doing. So, yes, the indies are where you're going to find the experimentation going on, people taking a chance on things. If we do something and it doesn't work out well and nobody likes it, what have you, well, that's not the end of some huge corporation or the ruination of a character that somebody can make a movie of or out of, and then nobody will really see it because everybody's mad and have to wait another 5 years before everybody forgets. So this is the place you'll find the creativity, experimentation, and possibly people approaching things that you'd like to see or you hadn't thought you'd like to see until you take a look and realize what's going on. The diversity in indie comics is something I think that probably needs to be discussed more. It's certainly there. And I think that's where the promise lies, is medium.
I agree. My favorite part with indie comics is going to conventions and seeing different artists and creators and picking up their stuff and being introduced to, like Richard said, different ideas and thoughts that, you know, that are out there. I mean, it's really a lot of fun. It's not the regurgitated, you know, sameness that is in everything else with the bigger publishers. I like having finite endings and you know, storytelling arcs that, you know, end and don't, like you're saying, you know, go back to the status quo, you know, an issue later with a new number one. You know, I like complete stories. I like being challenged with new creators' ideas and thoughts and art styles, and it's a fantastic way to see a lot more stuff, especially as you get older. It helps expand the mind, you know. I like a lot better than they say.
If you were to look at one of my comic books and look at one of Richard's comic books, you would think there could not be two more different types of work. But the interesting thing is, Richard and I both live in San Antonio, and we figured out after a couple of years that it made more sense for us to commute together to this thing. And so this morning, for example, at 3 o'clock in the morning, we were driving up to Dallas. We're talking, and over the course of 5 hours, it becomes apparent that we are inspired by the exact same cartoons. We grew up listening to the same music, watching the same movies, reading the same stuff, but it impacted our work in very different ways. So just to reiterate what everyone else has said, don't be afraid to look at something that's not people wearing spandex and bashing each other with atomic weapons. You find some things that are different and hopefully more interesting. So I get the feeling that we need to make ourselves scarce because there's another group coming on, but I know all of us really appreciate all of you coming out here, and hopefully you'll find time to come by and talk with us individually.
I hope you enjoyed listening to that and were not too put off by some of the audio quality issues. I found it to be a pretty interesting discussion. I spoke with a number of creators after the panel and am in the process of trying to work some interviews that we can air on future broadcasts here. That wraps it up for this episode. If you'd like to reach me on Twitter, I'm at JForgets. You can reach Dennis Chandler at UTENGR. Or if you'd like to tweet the show, we are at BOTR Comics. Thank you.